recruiting enthusiasts. I'm Priyanka, and welcome to Tech Recruiting Unfiltered podcast, a podcast for gaining all the insider knowledge about the top recruiters in the tech industry. On this week's episode, we are joined by Sumeet Naik, who's the Associate Vice President, Talent Acquisition at GlobalLogic. With over 1.5 decades of experience in the field, Sumeet has helped companies build and drive high-performing teams by attracting and retaining the top talent. He has an infectious positive attitude and is well known for his jovial personality and sense of humor, which contributes to his well-rounded professional outlook. Sumeet, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining in.
Hey, hi, Priyanka.
Yeah, so how are you doing today, Sumeet?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great, and I'm really excited and I'm pumped for our conversation today. So, you know, to start off, can you tell us a bit about yourself and your role at GlobalLogic?
Sure, absolutely. To begin with, I'd like to thank you for having me here today, Priyanka. Talking about myself, I was born and brought up in Bhubaneswar. That's where I completed my education. For the past 14 and a half years or so, I've been based out of Bangalore, where I stay with my wife and son. Mm-hmm. As for my career, I have close to 20 years of experience, with much of it being in the talent acquisition and the management space, right? Now, having said this, what might interest you is perhaps the fact that I kickstarted my career in a completely different function. I spent the formative years of my professional life busy scouting and building franchisees and into business development. And that would be a good 4 to 5 years that I spent in franchise development and sales before I took a plunge into talent acquisition. My first job in the TA space was with Infosys. During my stint at Infy, I had a chance to play multiple roles, lead multiple teams, and work on several different initiatives and programs. And in my current stint, I had talent acquisition practice with GlobalLogic, both for campus as well as for the talent supply engine for digital engineering.
Awesome. So, Sumeet, you've had an interesting journey, and I'm really excited to hear more about your experiences and perspectives. So, Sumeet, I'm curious, besides work, what are your other passions? How do you like to spend your free time?
Whenever I have time with me, I would probably fidget with my camera, try to hone my photography skills, or probably visit my families and friends. As a matter of fact, during the pandemic, I also took up painting as a hobby. I couldn't pursue it any further. I had to give it a slow dip, if I have to say that.
Nice. Interesting. Like you said, during the beginning of your career, you were into franchisee and business development. And then in 2010, you switched to TA industry. So how did you come across TA? And when was that point when you knew TA is your passion and this is going to be your professional career?
Well, that's an interesting story. I'd love to narrate that. While I've always thought my future aspirations to be mostly aligned to the people development function, I really never really worked towards it. As a matter of fact, I was content with the work that I did in the franchise development and the sales space. I vividly recall how it all started. I was working with the Tatas then and was based out of Chennai. Work made me travel to Bangalore very frequently. And during one such visit, I bumped into a friend of mine who was then working with Infosys. It was he who shared the opportunity with me. And I took it to the next steps. And as you would know, one thing led to another. And before I knew, I had an offer with Infosys. Now, what I'd like to call out is it was really the wonderful conversations that I had with the interviewers that drew me to the job. And nothing else but that. And like we say, rest is history. I was a part of Infosys for a good 12 years.
Yeah, amazing. And so as the Associate Vice President of Talent Acquisition at GlobalLogic, you're involved in a lot of designing and deploying the talent acquisition strategies. So to meet the talent growth needs and as well as the ensuring the seamless execution of it as well. So according to you, what are some key pillars when developing a talent acquisition strategy?
Right. See, the fundamental pillars of any talent acquisition strategy have recruiting, onboarding, and talent development at its core. Now, having said that, there are many other factors which actually influence the strategies adopted by an organization. Strategies adopted could differ based on the culture of the organization, based on the business goals, be it or the location of these businesses, the availability of talent, be it the availability of IT infrastructure, and most importantly, the budget that the organization has for it. So if I answer from a GlobalLogic perspective, some of the focus areas in TA strategy for us are: one, learning and development; second, leveraging technology for recruitment and retention; third would be purposeful growth; and fourth would be a focus on diversity and inclusion. And like you say, they are oftentimes when companies miss out or overlook a certain set of areas. And I'd like to highlight a couple of them, which helps us during the talent strategy setup process. Now, the first one would be the fact that any good talent acquisition strategy is one which is consistent with the growth strategy of the company. So it's important for the TAG function to align its plans with the business goals of the organization.
True.
Second, when it comes to adding new capabilities or enhancing existing ones, be often faced with the build versus buy dilemma, right? So should we build a new capability or should we just go buy a ready-made solution? Now, whatever option you choose, it's sure to impact and shape the future of your work as well as the way people work. So proper due diligence for both your in-house capabilities as well as a cost-benefit analysis of the tools or platforms in question should be done before a final call is taken. And lastly, an effective communication on this talent acquisition strategy and having all functions and teams aligned is important.
True. Very true. I think those are some really great focus areas you've mentioned, which companies can definitely try to focus more on. And so with the global economy weakening and companies are started to proceed more cautiously than before, and more companies are hiring internally and tapping the gig workers as well and pausing the hiring. So it is imperative that recruiting teams constantly adapt their strategies to this rapidly changing hiring landscape and master new skills as well. So I'm very curious to know, like, how do you go about measuring the success of your TA teams when the hiring slows down?
So I could probably think of two separate scenarios. One, when the hiring numbers are low. And second, when there is a complete hiring freeze. I'll go about it one-on-one. Now, for the first one, I don't think there'd be too much of a shift in the quantifiable success metrics. What would change is the reference points that are considered by choosing those metrics. To take an example, let's talk about sourcing effectiveness. In a normal year, if my optimal source mix would have 30% from job boards, 10% from direct, 10% from employee reference. During a slowdown, I would probably expect my team to close all of the hiring requirements through only the direct channels and nothing else. Similarly, while the numbers are low during a lean period, the complexities involved increase manifold. So I will still look at measures like time to fill or offer acceptance rate, or new hire retention rate, or candidate evaluated per hire as a means to measure TA success. Now, talking about the second bit, what happens when there's a hiring freeze? Now, I think this is a good time for the entire team to come together and revisit our existing hiring practices, processes, and systems. This is the time for us to reinvent and re-engineer our existing processes and systems to create value to the organization. So I would evaluate the team based on outcomes of projects undertaken, be it enhancements, implementations done, or process improvements when there's a complete hiring freeze.
True. I think very greatly said. And you know, scaling the TA as well is very crucial for every organization. And nevertheless, I think cost efficiency is, you know, often a major concern. And in light of the current economic downturn as well, the scaling TA mm-hmm. becomes even more important. And mm-hmm. so what are your thoughts on scaling up the TA without, you know, incurring too much of the fixed costs?
I have a viewpoint, right? Now, I believe the advent of AI recruiting tools have made the lives of recruiters a lot easier.
Yeah.
So hence, increasing their efficiency is manifold. Today, think of it, I have a conversational chatbot which helps me with the candidate discovery phase. I have sourcing tools which help me pass profiles and stack rank profiles based on relevance. I have scheduling tools at my disposal which would schedule multiple candidates at the click of a key. And then you have intelligent online assessment platforms, automated offer processing, and finally platforms which would help you with virtual onboarding. So now this effectively a tool which builds in efficiency at each stage of the candidate journey. So to answer your question, done purposefully, it is absolutely possible to scale up without incurring too much of fixed costs.
True. And so you've been in this industry for in a long time now. So I'm very curious to know the evolution of technology and assessments you have observed over the years. I want to know, like, what is the evolution you have observed and how has the whole tech hiring changed back then when you started out to, like, today, like the whole assessments as well as the talent market as well as the tools and technology as well?
When I started and where it is now, I would think each and every aspect of, you know, talent acquisition has undergone change. Right. Like, let me try and break it down into four parts. My answer into four parts. One is, how has the role and responsibilities of a recruiter changed? Now, if you look at it, back in the day, a major part of a recruiter's time was mostly spent around sourcing, screening, and scheduling candidates, while there was the remainder time, which was spent in offer processing and other administrative work, right? For most IT organizations, weekends were reserved for physical drives. So, in effect, most recruiters almost had a set routine that they followed and almost no time for any other activity or engagement. Now, fast track at 15 years, over the years, now we don't see recruiters merely as paper pushers, but rather talent advisors. And as advisors, they're responsible for sharing market intel with business, discussing future talent trends, acting as brand ambassadors for the org, and also engaging with passive candidates, right? Yeah. Now, let's talk about technology. Now, like I explained earlier, the HR tech available today has positively affected each and every facet of the selection process. Yeah. Now, how the TA org adapted during the pandemic is a classic example. Now, if you had asked me if my organization could hire in a completely digital environment without meeting candidates in the physical world probably a couple of years back, I would have thought that to be a little too far-fetched. But what we saw during the pandemic was incredible, right? The adoption of technology for hiring has never been greater than what we witnessed and we continue to witness today.
Yeah.
Right. Now, let's talk about the hiring requirements and how that has changed. We see a rise in skill-based hiring. Now, gone are the days when employers would look at a degree completion as a proxy. And now is the time when they favor hiring on the basis of demonstrated skills and competencies. Then with the changing nature of jobs, the skill required to perform these jobs are also transforming. So we see a shift towards hiring resources having composite skills. And then increased focus on creating a diverse and inclusive workforce. These are the three aspects. Now let's talk about how candidate experiences have changed or expectations have changed over time.
Yeah.
Right. Probably what worked as an EVP for an organization 10 years back holds any relevance in today's day, right? So now organizations wanting to attract and retain the best and brightest talent would need to reinvent the EVPs and the hiring strategies.
Yeah.
A few areas that come to my mind now is one, talent mobility. Second would be purposeful and meaningful work which the candidate would align themselves to. Third being well-structured and transparent selection processes.
Yeah.
Fourth would be effective communication throughout the selection process. And third, the fifth would be commitment to DEI. Right? So to conclude, a good candidate experience coupled with a clear career path, meaningful work, and a commitment to the society with salary equity will now help the organization be looked at favorably by the candidate.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I really love the detailed, you know, insights you've given us. And one thing I'm very keen to know is like how you assess tech talent at GlobalLogic. So like in your hiring process at GlobalLogic, so what are typically the roles or tech stacks you hire for?
There are a plethora of digital skills which we hire at GlobalLogic, right? To name a few, we have Mean Stacks, Mern Stacks, LAMP, Ruby on Rails. We have Serverless Stack, Flutter for Web, and the likes, and many more, right? Now, the key parameters are to match both cultural and technical proficiency with equal weightage.
Yeah.
We use external assessment platforms as well as internal panelists to evaluate skills proficiency along with soft skills. So in effect, we look at both technical fit as well as culture fit while evaluating and assessing candidates.
True. So when you, let's say you're hiring for a tech role, what are those key parameters you always have in mind? And how do you judge like if he or she is a right fit for the role and the organization in terms of, like you said, both the tech and the soft skills? And like what methods have worked really well for you so far?
See, on the technical side of things, it is competency-based hiring that we do where we look at the competencies that are required for the job and try to evaluate and assess the candidate based on the competency. Second is for a separate set of hirings, we do have online assessments that take care of all the other aspects apart from the technology and the project management, say on your soft skills, both written and verbal, be it your logical reasoning or problem solving skills. All of that is again through different platforms that we have associated ourselves with. Now, on a behavioral aspect, when we look at candidates, we essentially look at, or we very stringent when it comes to looking at fit to the culture and fit to the value systems of the organization. These are essentially many things that we look at while evaluating candidates.
Okay. And so when you're hiring tech candidates, so do you prefer a candidate who is already skilled or do you prefer a candidate who can be trained?
David, to answer this question on whether we prefer hiring already skilled resources and put them onto projects or if we prefer hiring people and then reskilling them, the answer would be both. Now, when I say both, what I mean to say is it all depends on the business requirement that we have at the time for which we are hiring. Now, if it is for a project where the person is to be deployed immediately, then we would rather pick a resource from the market who has demonstrated ability and skills in performing tasks or working on the skill set, right? Now, if we are to build a pipeline, then we would probably look at the latter. Now, I would want to give you a brief view of the learning and development initiatives that we have at Global Logic. So a big part of a strategy is on learning and development. Now, if you were to, if I have to give you a context, Global Logic has 13 state-of-the-art academies which help people advance their careers by acquiring new skills. And then we have the Ascent program that I head hiring for, which is mostly a career accelerator program created to address the scarcity of digital engineering talent, right? Now, for the program, what we do is we hire people from external market with 1 to 3 years of experience and then upskill them on composite skills. And then we have technology certifications and upskilling programs, which is specifically for freshers. Along with all of this, we do have the management development program for managers, which helps them, you know, better their performance at work and managing teams. Does that answer your question?
Yes, absolutely. And so I think I was, you know, going through your LinkedIn profile and you mentioned that you've successfully managed and mentored the recruitment teams and, you know, helped them maximize their productivity through various focused interventions. So can you tell us a bit about those interventions and how you went about executing and what are the results you were able to achieve?
See, most of the answers to seemingly difficult questions around increasing your recruiter's productivity or efficiency lie in putting in place better structures and governance mechanisms. Ones that could be integrated easily into your day-to-day operations, and some of which I practice and I would want to talk about them. One is regular reviews of hiring plans with both recruiters as well as stakeholders. Partnering with stakeholders in identifying system and process improvements and taking necessary corrective measures to ensure better selection process. Right? Revisiting the candidate evaluation criteria from time to time and making amends. Regular sessions with the team to share their best practices. And probably lastly, identifying the improvement areas and chalking out development plans for them. Now, these small interventions go a long way in establishing a high-performing team.
Yeah, sounds great. And, you know, so before we wrap up our conversation, I wanted to ask you, Sumit, so your experience in the industry goes back to, you know, more than 1.5 decades. So any tips or advice you want to share with the budding recruiters out there?
I would have 3 tips for the recruiters. One is to know your subject well. Or when I say know your subject well, have a good understanding of the practices or the verticals or the horizontal stack you're hiring for and how your hiring impacts the larger organization. You have to be mindful for that, mindful about that to be able to get the right set of resources to the organization. Second is to be clear in setting expectations with both your internal and external stakeholders. Many a times, you are faced with scenarios where you probably get pushed into a corner on, you know, a specific set of hiring. Yeah. It's important for you to be able to set expectations right up front with your stakeholders on the time frames or the timelines that need to be looked at, how easy or difficult it is to hire, what are the price points at which you could hire, right? Yeah. And the third and the most important way is keep yourself up to date with the latest trends, both in technology as well as on recruiting practices.
Yeah. I think those are some really great tips, Sumit. And that brings us to the end of our conversation. I had a great time chatting with you, Sumit. And I love the insights and the tips you have shared with us today. So thanks again for joining Tech Recruiting Unfiltered podcast.
Pleasure's mine, Priyanka. Thank you so much as well.
Thanks for listening to Tech Recruiting Unfiltered podcast. We hope you enjoyed as well as learned from it. To gain more such insights, join us for our next episode. You can follow us on LinkedIn at Technical Hiring Showcase page and our website technical-hiring.com to receive all the updates. That's all for this episode, folks. See you next time.